Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to Killer Queens.
Or KQ if you're nasty.
Welcome to the show where two 90s loving country chicks gab about true crime and tell each other to talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I'm Torella.
And I'm Tori.
And we're sisters who have always loved true crime and decided to turn that obsession into a show with a light take on the topic.
Kind of like diet true crime, it's all the flavor and fewer calories.
Now with our show, you'll get true crime, 90s nostalgia, and a few four-letter words sprinkled in.
Because I always say that Polly Pockets and true crime go together like peas and carrots.
Be sure to check out our case submission form on our website at killerqueenspodcast.com and follow us on social media and YouTube.
Now grab your Surge, your 3D Cool Ranch Doritos, and your kitten surprise, and let's get into the episode.
This episode contains discussion of murder of adults and children, rape, bondage, torture, mutilation, suicide, sexual assault of adults and children, racism, and incest. Listener discretion is advised.
From the late 1960s to the late 1980s, 12 girls and young women lost their lives at the hands of Fred and Rose West, including their own daughters. They would come under suspicion in August of 1992 after one of their daughters reported to a friend that her father had sexually abused her. The couple would be formally arrested in 1994 after a lengthy investigation. Fred West was charged with 12 counts of murder and Rose with 9, but it's believed that they could be responsible for many more. Their horrific crimes paint them as two of the most prolific serial killers in the history of the UK.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Killer Queens. If you've never been here before, we want to give you just a little information about how the show is set up and what it's meant to accomplish. If you have been here before, welcome back. You can just use that handy skip ahead feature here if you want to.
We want to give a message to friends and family of the victims. We know that there may be someone involved in the case who might listen one day, and we want you to know that our intention is to only bring awareness to this case. And while we do use personal stories in some instances and our own humor in order to tell the story in a way that listeners can relate, we have the utmost respect for victims and their families.
We created Killer Queens to be a place where we can have open discussions about cases just like you would with friends. We are not investigators. We use information that is available to the public, such as documentaries, case files, and media coverage. Using this information, we intend to tell the story of what happened in each case that we cover. Now, will you agree with our interpretations or conclusions of each case? Well, heck no.
We each approach cases from different perspectives, life experiences, and beliefs that we already have in place. And sometimes these differences are slight, yet they can be wide enough to cause divide and upset some of those listening. We do our best to present the facts as we find them in our research, but we do bring our own perspectives to the case. We understand that you will too. We want you to know that this is a safe space to discuss differences and opinions in a civilized manner. Our style may not be your personal preference, and if that's the case, we know you'll be able to find one of the many other shows out there to tell the story the way you want to hear it. We can be grown-ups about it if you can.
Now, if we are your cup of tea and you want even more KQ, you can join our Patreon and get access to our entire catalog of episodes ad-free and access to bonus episodes too. And I'll give you just a little hint if you're an ad skipper, but you still want the deals that we have from our sponsors each week, you can scroll down to the show notes and see what coupons we have available for you right down there.
But you didn't hear it from us.
That's a pro tip, but I'll deny ever sharing it.
Right. So all that being said, let's get into the story.
Wow.
I feel like trigger warnings, the answer is yes.
I know. I don't know that we've had a case with more than that. It's possible, but I just don't remember off the top of my head one with more of those.
Right.
Let's talk about a window open scale on this one.
Yeah.
It's pretty open.
I think so too.
I think you're going to throw some stuff out the window. I think you're going to go back down. I think you're going to pick it up, throw it out again. Mm-hmm. It's the audacity for me.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll definitely get into it. We've got a lot of requests for this one. I guess it's like trigger warnings, yes. Request, yes. Requested by, so we want to give a hey girl thanks to Laura Ellison, Olivia, oh Lord, Olivia Padrejin Ewing Neal.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Dolores Tipkin Anderson, Safa Harir, Jessica, Samantha, Shauna Allen, Amber Johansson, and Sarah Granby.
Thank you. And thank you to Mark for writing it up.
Of course. All right. So we're just going to like jump right into it.
Let's launch right into it.
Wow. I used the wrong verb.
You know, a verb is an action word.
Love is a verb.
Oh.
Do you know that?
Love is a battlefield.
That's true. That's just true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to talk about Fred first. Because I guess we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take out the garbage first.
Exactly. Fred Walter Stephen West was born in September of 1941. He was born in Much Markle, Herefordshire.
Nope.
Hereford? What?
Yeah, okay. All right. It just looks... I never know the right way to say English.
What were you going to say?
I guess the same thing. Or like Herefordshire, but I wasn't going to do the hair.
Mm, okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mark made sure I wasn't going to sound like an idiot. So thank you, Mark. he put the dumb country girl pronunciation for me, which was very nice.
Whatever it is, it just oozes out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Like there's...
Yeah. Well, and like all of these, like Gloucester, when we talk about Gloucester, it's, that's not, no, that's wrong.
Gloucester.
Yeah. Come on. They're just trying just to make us look the dumb. Word. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is in the West Midlands of England. And it said that his father, Walter Stephen West, because what do? We name boys after dad because look how great I am. Was a strict disciplinarian, while his mother, Daisy Hannah Hill, was very overprotective. Fred had 7 siblings, 2 of which died in very early life, leaving Fred and his 5 siblings. And growing up, they were a very poor family. They worked on farms. People described them as very close-knit and protective of one another. When Fred was just a few years old, the family moved to the outskirts of Much Markle. What a name. I don't know. But I guess like, I don't know, every place has a place where you're like, well, that's a name, but into a cottage that was adjacent to the farm that his father worked at. And it was a really small cottage. They didn't have any electricity in the winter. It could only be heated by a log fire. And by 1951, Daisy had given birth to 8 total children. And like we had mentioned before, 2 of them unfortunately did not survive. But Fred was always her favorite. She picks favorites in a different way than you would think. So people called Fred a mama's boy. They said he was coddled by her at every opportunity. Kind of one of those situations. The children were raised in a home that valued hard work. They were all assigned chores to do. And basically what that meant for these children was they basically had a 9-to-5 job by like 3 years old. Like, these are not just chores. It's not like, hey, take the trash out once a week or even every day or whatever.
We are here to remind you of the lists we love and have made. It's not fair to deny you of the products we have saved. You ought to know
about our Amazon store.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks.
Wow. That is one way to tell you about our Amazon store. And I think it's the only way.
I think so too.
If I'm being honest. Because you guys, we've got products that we love and use for podcasting, home decor, fashion, hair, makeup. I have products that I love for like kiddos. Tori has lists for 90s finds. You name it. We got it. And shopping on our Amazon storefront helps to support the show. So if you're not able to financially support the show, like through Patreon or anything like that, if you just use our link, and you can even shop for stuff you'd normally shop for on Amazon, just go to our link first. Even if you don't want the stuff that we've got, it really, really, really helps us out.
To see all the stuff we've got linked and to shop our Amazon, head to killerqueens.link/Amazon. Again, that's killerqueens.link/Amazon.
They all worked seasonal jobs. The three girls would pick hops and strawberries when they were in season. The boys harvested wheat while in season and hunted small game to provide food for the family or to sell. That's, you know, like job. Off to work we go.
Yeah.
In school, Fred was not a great student. Classmates described him as scruffy, lethargic, and he was always in trouble. Throughout his life, Fred was barely literate. He did, however, excel in classes that involved less traditional learning, like woodworking and art classes, things like that. But school overall was just not a priority for Fred. And in 1956, at the age of 15, he quit school and then he took a job on the same farm that his father worked on. Around the age of 17, Fred would frequent a youth club in a neighboring town where his thick accent would give him away as being from Herefordshire. The pronunciation isn't there anymore and now I've lost it. And people would label him as a country bumpkin, which is so funny to me because like country bumpkin to me is like, I remember one of my teachers at Motlow, the way that she was our anatomy and physiology teacher, very, very smart woman, but she was just so country, just like as country as a turnip grain.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, English. I feel like I always hear like in England, there are those very specific like neighborhoods or I don't know what you call them, areas. And like the accents are very particular to that area. And I don't know, like it's like a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just interesting. I think like what I consider a country accent versus like other parts of the world, it's like, it's just, I guess it's anywhere that has a thick accent, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw this British comedian. His name is Joe Lycett and he's so funny, but he was doing a bit and he mentioned that he was like in a coffee shop and there were two people there from Birmingham, which I'm very familiar with because of Peaky Blinders.
Oh,
but he was like recreating the accent and he's like, he said something like, if they were going to say it, I'm going to take the baby to Abu Dhabi. And he was like, I take the bye-bye to Abu Dhabi. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, it was so funny. And I totally fucked that up. But anyway.
But we get the idea.
Accents. Yeah. Had nothing to do with nothing. So great. But while going to the club, if you don't remember the club, it was the youth club. Fred was pretty much just a freaking shithead. Like, there's no
really
other way.
You wouldn't use language like freaking.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, he would aggressively come on to girls and young women. He was regularly groping and fondling them.
But
mm-hmm. So let me rephrase. He wasn't just a freaking shithead. He was a freaking sexual predator.
Yeah.
Ugh. Frick. I just, you know.
All right. New trigger warning. Torella's disgusting garbage mouth.
Mm-hmm. Potty mouth. Sorry.
Jeez.
He later would say in his life that he believed that they were just objects there for his pleasure.
Thinking very highly of yourself. And wow. I wonder how much of that is because of Daisy.
Yeah.
She made him feel like he hung the moon.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that I didn't get about Fred, because like, you can see a picture of him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be all whatever.
Well, you're just saying facts. Ugly facts. As the day is long.
Yeah. But he was able to charm women. Not all, but
I mean,
he had some.
Charles Manson could do it too, you know?
It's yeah. Like it's just crazy to me. But if someone would accept his advances for whatever reason, they would always say that he would leave them extremely unsatisfied because all he cared about was his own gratification. Shocker.
Yeah, that tracks.
At 17 years old, Fred was in a serious motorcycle accident that left him with a fractured skull, broken arm, and broken leg. He was unconscious for a week and had to use braces to help him walk for months. This led him to develop an intense fear of hospitals, and everyone noticed that after his accident, he was prone to fits of rage at a moment's notice. Sounds like possibly a traumatic brain injury or something.
Uh-huh.
Then 2 years later, he suffered another head injury where he fell two stories off a fire escape Listen. He suffered an injury. Please feel sorry for him. He fell off the fire escape in the process of groping a girl against her wishes, and she punched his lights out.
She punched him right off of the building.
And ouchies, he hurt his head.
Sounds like he deserved it. Yeah, exactly. Like, sorry you. She punched the highlights out of your hair, but like, you can't just go around groping girls.
No.
You friggin'. See, now you got me cussing.
See?
I know. Frig.
I mean, earmuffs, guys. Earmuffs.
So, in 1960, Fred met and started dating Catherine, who went by Rena Costello. They had met at a dance hall and dated for several months until Rena had to return back home to Scotland. Then in 1962, they met up again when Rena was living back in England. And when she was living in Scotland, Rena had been seeing a bus driver who happened to be Asian. And she got pregnant, and her family was not happy at all with her bearing a mixed race child, prompting her to return to England.
Her parents seemed really great.
Yeah, just gems.
Just wait. Yeah.
She and Fred rekindled their relationship and quickly married. And they started dating again in September of 1962, and they were married in November of 1962.
That's not like, doesn't fit right in with coercive control at all.
Right? Ugh. The only person at their wedding was Fred's younger brother, John. And the following March, Rena's daughter, Charmaine, was born. To cover up the fact that Charmaine was mixed race, the couple told people that Rena had a miscarriage when she was pregnant and the baby was actually adopted. Great. That must have felt really good for Charmaine.
Just what a stupid time. Like,
I know.
It's just ridiculous that, I don't know. I would like to think that even if I was born in a different time, I would not be
racist.
Yeah. And feel forced to say something like that just because I don't want other people to think badly of me. Like, that's your child.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, get the fuck over it. Like, I don't know.
And again, like, if when Charmaine gets old enough to understand, and then if she hears her family being like, oh, yeah, she's adopted, like, we, you know. How's that supposed to make somebody feel? And not that being adopted is a bad thing, but like, you know what I mean? Like, for the reasons they're saying it, that's just awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. So not long after she was born, they moved to Glasgow, Scotland. And after a couple years, they had a daughter named Anna Marie.
They're trying to hide how Charmaine came about because it doesn't look good. We already told you guys, this guy is one of the most prolific serial killers in England.
Yeah.
But that doesn't look good. And like, wait till you hear everything else. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, I mean, it's like the whole nine yards, right? Like Jimmy the Tulip Tedeschi, and he had no problem with
morals.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did not believe in divorce, but he will kill whoever you want him to for the right price.
No problems.
So, you guys are probably not going to believe this. Fred didn't treat Rena and the girls well at all.
What?
I know. It's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I feel shocked.
Neighbors said that Rena seemed like a young mother struggling to try to raise the two children. And they said that Fred treated Rena and the girls, quote unquote, harshly. The girls had a bunk bed, but Fred had installed bars on the bottom bunk and made the girls stay there. And the only time they were allowed to get out was when he was at work.
Okay. I would like to think that the neighbors don't know this part.
I would hope not.
But that's not just harsh. That's abuse.
God, like, I wouldn't even do that to a damn dog.
No. I know. When we used to have to, like, when you get a new puppy and you have to crate them, and I'm not saying anything like bad about people who crate their animals, but like, it
sometimes
hurt
you have to.
My
I mean, that's
heart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would just, you know, Rox would be like, and I'm like, oh my God. And I would just let him out. And I'm like, he's sleeping in the bed with us. Like, get the fuck over it. And he peed the bed a few times. And you know, I was just like, well, that comes with the territory. He's a baby.
He is a little baby.
It's just hard. Like, yeah, like these are children. These are human beings. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Some time passed and Fred had affairs and cheated on Rena regularly.
What?
I know. It's, again, shocking. How did he pull any ass?
I don't understand. That's what I don't understand. Like.
Yeah. I'm guessing people have eyeballs that he was with. I just don't understand. Yeah, I don't get it. I'll never understand it.
Nope.
And I've made some questionable calls back in the day. I'm not going to lie. Sure. I think we all have. But like, he
made some very questionable calls.
Yeah, no. You want to talk? No. We'll continue this later, but this ain't over.
Okay.
So eventually, he admitted to the affairs and cheating and even fathering a child with one woman. So Rena started having an affair with a man named John McLaughlin. And one day, Fred caught them hugging. And he grabbed Rena and punched her.
Okay. Well, that's a choice.
In front of me. Looked like you was leaning. So this led to the first of what appears to be many beatings of Fred at the hands of John McLaughlin.
I love John McLaughlin.
I know, right? John is good people. John punched Fred, who pulled a knife and swung it at John, grazing his side. Then John punched him again and Fred stopped defending himself. Rena and John's affair continued, and on different occasions, John would see Rena with bruises and black eyes, and each time he would find Fred and beat him. One time, John saw Fred smack Charmaine, who was like a toddler at the time, and when he did this because she asked for an ice cream cone of Fred's ice cream truck.
Yeah, he had an ice cream truck then.
Yeah. So John beat the hell out of Fred again. And later in his life, John said that Fred, quote, couldn't tackle a man, but he wasn't so slow in attacking women.
Good for you, John.
I know.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to knock the shit out of you. I don't understand why Fred continued. Like, he knew John was going to, John was like fucking Liam Neeson. I will find you. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Try it.
Yeah. And I would think after however many beatings, you'd get the picture of like, oh, shit, this behavior will get me an ass whooping.
Exactly. It's like putting like a fucking shock collar on an animal or something. Like, they learn their lesson. Fred, not so much.
No.
It's like every time I do this, I get the shit kicked out of me, but I'm going to try it anyway, see what happens. Let's see.
Right. Idiot. In December of 1965, Fred, Rena, their children, and two other women moved back to England.
Wow.
Yeah. The two other women were Issa McNeil and Anne McFall. Issa had worked as a nanny for Fred and Rena, and Anne was a friend of hers. And they both came from poorer backgrounds and moved in hopes of finding jobs in Gloucester.
Yep, just Gloucester.
It's too hard. And you might be wondering, why did they move all of a sudden? Well, Fred was out doing his ice cream business and he ran over a young boy and he killed him. Yikes.
But that was an accident.
I'm sure. The police actually cleared Fred of any wrongdoing and ruled that it was an accident. But Fred felt like there would be retaliation from the locals and he relied on them to make a money with his ice cream truck. So they just left. They are you in an OFT? And once back in England, Fred found a job as a truck driver for a slaughterhouse, which there's nothing wrong. That's a respectable living. But again, it kind of tracks like, I don't know. Because Fred is essentially the human version of a slaughterhouse.
Exactly.
So when they moved back to England, Fred, unsurprisingly, was a shithead to everyone.
Literally,
he was extremely domineering over Rena, Issa, Anne, and the children, and the physical and mental abuse continued, along with accusations of sexual abuse of Charmaine. Fred even encouraged Rena to turn to sex work to supplement his income. So Rena finally gets fed up with it. She calls John McLaughlin and begged him to come get her, Issa, and the children. So the three of them, along with Issa's boyfriend, devised a plan to show up and take the women and children back to Scotland. But Anne McFall had become infatuated with Fred by this time. Reasons unknown. Yes. And it's suspected that she told him about their plan. So when McLaughlin showed up, Fred was there. Words were exchanged. Anne told them that she was staying with Fred to be the children's nanny. And it ended with Fred clutching the children while John again beat the shit out of him. The police were called and John, Rena, Issa, and Issa's boyfriend left, leaving the children with Fred and Anne. Sad.
That's really sad.
Listen, Rena did not want to leave the kids. Mm-mm. She traveled back and forth from Scotland to England a lot to see her kids and to make sure they were taken care of. She tried to remain cordial with Anne, but over time resented her because of how she was trying to take over the role of the girl's mother. In letters that Anne wrote to family members, she said that she felt like staying with Fred was the correct choice because it gave her a shot at a better life. And she frequently tried to get Fred to divorce Rena, who he was still legally married to, and she wanted him to marry her. But then in July of 1967, Anne McFall vanishes. No one heard from her, and she was never reported missing. About a month after Anne's disappearance, Rena returned to England and Fred. Their relationship was good initially, but eventually Fred returned to his ways and Rena left again the following year, leaving the children with Fred again. And having no one to help with the children, Fred placed them with social services until he had a woman in his life who would take care of them.
This is just so frustrating because he doesn't want the children.
No, not at
all. He doesn't want to deal with the children, but he does not want Rena to have them.
Mm-mm.
It's just vindictive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, like, this time in the world, like, I wouldn't imagine Rena was going to get, like, child support.
No.
I mean, Rena was going to pay child support or anything like that.
No. And she probably was not going to be awarded custody. Like, it's harder at this time for women to get jobs and, you know, all the things. She can't get a home loan without being married. She can't. In most places, like, it's just another control move.
Absolutely. And the thing is, and not that you can just have another kid to replace your other kids. Like, that's not what I mean. But Fred was very much that person. Mm-hmm. He can't keep his pecker Mm-mm. out in his pants. Mm-mm. And he probably was having fathering children all over the place. And it's mm-hmm. like, to him, it's like, oh, okay, well, I mean, what did he care? And just specifically Fred, what did Fred care?
Exactly. Let them be with their mother.
Let them have a fucking chance.
Yeah.
Frig.
I know. Frig. Okay, now we're going to talk about Rose, which is even worse to me than talking about Fred, honestly. And that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary Pauline Letts was the fifth of seven children born to Andrew Letts and Daisy Fuller.
What are the odds? Is Daisy such a popular name? Because Fred's mom was Daisy and Rose's mom is Daisy.
I was just thinking that. Like, I've read stuff and watched stuff, and I never, like, just now, I was like, oh, shit, there's another Daisy. Oh. Yeah, but wasn't, like, there's Daisy and the Great Gatsby?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Very popular.
Daisy name. Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. The pregnancy was pretty difficult for Daisy, something that many attributed to the electroshock therapy that she received to treat her depression. That might fucking do it, do you think?
Yeah. While you're pregnant, Jesus.
Yeah, people said that the ECT most likely caused prenatal developmental injuries to Rose. No,
let's just zap her with a bunch of electricity.
Shit.
Yeah.
While she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Come on. The Letts family, like the West family, was very poor and struggled to make ends meet. Rose was described as a bit of a daydreamer. She also did poorly in school.
That reminds me of Uncle Buck. It's like, she's a daydreamer, a silly heart.
Yeah.
I can't remember the other things that she says.
Oh, gosh. Like, and she's a kid. She's supposed to be. When she was a teenager, her parents divorced and she briefly lived with her mom before returning to live with her father. Her father suffered from paranoid schizophrenia and was prone to violent outbursts. While living with him, Rose suffered violence and sexual abuse at his hands. When Rose turned 15, she was at a bus stop when she was approached by an unkempt 27-year-old. Initially, she was repulsed by the man. But he just kept giving her attention over the course of the next few days. And eventually, she was like, you know what? This is kind of nice. I am flattered.
It's very Steve Urkel, but worse, where it's like, I'm wearing you down, baby. I'm wearing you down.
Yeah. For days, this man would meet her at the bus stop. He would talk with her. He asked her out twice. Both times she said no. But she finally did agree to let him walk her home. And that man was Fred West.
Rody.
Through talking with Rose, Fred learned that she worked at a nearby bakery and he hatched a plan. So he persuaded a woman to go in and give her a gift and say that it was from a man outside. And then minutes later, he went in and asked Rose out for a third time. And this time she accepted.
He is persistent.
That date led to a relationship. Now, guys, remember, she's 15 and he's 27.
Or 27, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was giving him a little bit of a pat. Well, it's still wrong.
Still bad, but yeah. Ew, what the fuck do you... Guys, think about a 15-year-old. That is a child.
Yeah.
Even if you're 18, 15 is a child. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. So this date led to a relationship. Rose would frequently visit Fred's home with the children, Anna and Charmaine. And Rose saw that the girls were being neglected, so she stepped in as a motherly figure to help with them. She insisted they all go out on various excursions, like they'd go pick wildflowers or just go be outdoors together. Within weeks of meeting, Rose left her job and agreed to be a full-time nanny for Fred. And they agreed that Fred would give her enough money so she could continue to give money to her family on a weekly basis to keep up the charade that she still worked at the bakery. Ooh, the bakery. But like, I don't know, I guess she's just trying to help her family, but like, I kind of thought she was done with them, but...
Yeah, kind of me too, but I don't really understand. I mean, a nanny is a respectable
career. It's also a job, yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe she didn't want them knowing she was living with an old dirty bastard. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just came up with that phrase.
Oh.
Just right off the top of my head, really.
I like it.
I'm going to call him ODB.
Oh, that's even, wow, that's smart.
Mm-hmm. Just so it shortens it, that's all.
Sure, wow. It does not sound familiar at all.
No, it shouldn't, because it's not. So, after months of dating, Rose introduced Fred to her family, and they were like, what in the actual fuck, Rose? What in the actual fuck? This is one old and dirty bastard. I don't know what you're doing. Her mom was like, he's super arrogant. He's boastful. He seems like a pathological liar.
Daisy had his number.
Uh-huh. Totally. And Rose's dad was like, I don't like him. And in fact, I'm going to fucking beat his ass. How about that? How about I fight him? And I'm going to call social services to take the kids away from him if you don't stay away from my daughter, who is a child. Yeah. Please don't forget she's a child and you're a grown man. So Rose was like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. So she kept seeing Fred and her parents tried to fight back. They did go to social services and told them that their daughter was having a sexual relationship with an older man. And they also heard that she had started working as a sex worker for him. Rose ended up being placed in a home for troubled teenagers and only allowed to visit her family on the weekends. And instead of that, she would just go see Fred. Wait a second. Why are you just like, she's 15 and in a relationship with an older man. Maybe she's 16 by now.
Right. Still a child.
She's infatuated with an older man who obviously has a hold on her. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, Rose, go visit your family. I'm trusting you here.
Yeah. I mean, the whole reason she's in there is because you're trying to pull her out of this terrible situation, and then you're like, we're gonna reward that with you going back to your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like shouldn't they have been? I mean,
of course,
I don't know
what she's family.
Right, but like, can't you get Daisy or her dad to be like, come up there and get her?
Right. Something, yeah. So when she turned 16, she left the group home and went back to her parents. Fred was in jail for 30 days for theft, but once he got out, Rose immediately returned to him.
This is very, like, Bonnie and Clyde-ish. Like, they just couldn't quit each other.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
So, again, Rose's parents went to social services and talked with them. Rose was taken in and examined by a police surgeon. which is basically just a doctor who treats inmates or officers at a police station. It's not really a thing anymore, apparently. And they confirmed that she was pregnant. She was again placed into care, but was released after agreeing to terminate the pregnancy, which she did not do. So she moves in with Fred, which prompted her father to forbid her from setting foot in their house again. They were like, you know what? Then just GTFO. I don't know what to do with you. A few months passed and Rose gave birth to a daughter, Heather Ann. 2 months later, Fred was sent to jail for stealing car tires and a tax disc, which appears to be similar to like a vehicle registration. He would serve a 6.5 month sentence while he was in jail. Rose, who was just 17 years old, looked after the three girls and told Charmaine and Anna Marie to refer to her as their mother.
Anna Marie later said that she and Charmaine suffered greatly at the hands of Rose, where she would cry and submit to whatever Rose wanted them to do. And Anna Marie was doing this. Charmaine was opposite. She was stoic. She would rarely react, which infuriated Rose.
Mm-hmm. And Charmaine was like, she was a feisty girl.
Yeah. Yes.
She was a firecracker.
Mm-hmm. Anna said that Charmaine would tell her that Rena was going to come save them. And if Rose swore at the girls, Charmaine would tell her, quote, my real mommy wouldn't swear at us. A friend of Charmaine said that one day she stopped by their house unannounced and she goes in and she saw Charmaine standing on a chair naked with a gag and her hands bound behind her back with a belt. Rose was standing beside her with a larger wooden spoon and Anna Marie was in the corner with a blank expression on her face. And that friend said that Charmaine did, she seemed calm. She was unconcerned about what was happening. It didn't seem like anything, like this was obviously, I don't know if this is obvious, but maybe this has happened before. This is not the first
time. She doesn't, she doesn't seem in distress. This seems kind of like, oh, well, I'm here I am again on the chair kind of thing.
Right, right. But nothing, it doesn't really seem like anything came of that. There is a record of Charmaine having gotten treatment for a stab wound to an ankle, and it was explained away as a household accident, and Charmaine was treated and released. Different times. Mm-hmm. At some point in mid-June of 1971, Rose took the children to visit Fred in jail. Then in late June, a mother of a playmate of Charmaine's brought her daughter for a visit, but was shocked when she was told that Charmaine had gone to live with her mother. Rose added, quote, bloody good riddance when she told the mother.
Oh, okay. Okay. She's eight.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, you had a fucking, that's not your daughter, but you wanted her to refer to you as her mother,
mm-hmm.
which shouldn't have done. That's awful. Rena wanted her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Anyway.
Nope.
Others said that they asked Rose about Charmaine's sudden disappearance as well, and they were all told similar stories about Rena West coming to get Charmaine to live with her in Bristol. Rose told the school that Charmaine had moved to London with her mother, and not long after Charmaine disappeared, Fred got out of jail. Anna Marie was worried about where her sister was, and Fred told her that she had gone to Scotland to live with Rena. Rena is living at all the places at all the times.
Yeah, she's...
she's in Bristol and London and Scotland.
Yeah, she's everywhere.
Yep.
Ow.
She asked why Rena took Charmaine and not her, and Fred told her that it was because she was white and Charmaine was part Asian, and he told her, quote, she wouldn't want you, love. You're the wrong color.
What?
Uh-huh.
The things that people... And to tell a child she wouldn't want you for any reason. Yeah, she just didn't want you. Sorry.
Which is a bold-faced lie because Rena didn't want anything more than to have her children back.
Exactly. Exactly. And just to let your child believe that mm-hmm. for your own benefit.
Uh-huh. Briggs. Disgusting. Yes!
Briggs.
Get it out, man. You got to. Throughout the years, whenever Rena would leave Fred, she always kept in contact with her kids, and she made sure to visit often and keep up with what was going on with them. And after Fred had been released from jail in 1971, Rena hadn't talked to the children for a while and was said to be depressed and extremely anxious about it. Fred and Rose had moved to a different home and Rena didn't know where it was, but she eventually got that address and went to visit them. And her plan was to demand custody of the girls and take them back with her. And that visit with Fred was the last time anyone saw Rena.
Hmm. Curiouser and curiouser.
Uh-huh.
So by now, everyone pretty much has an idea of the kind of person that Fred West was. But we're going to get into it a little more here. And just to warn you, it is not pretty. So we're going to go back to when he was younger. We know that he was groping and assaulting girls and young women when he would go to the youth clubs, which is like, ew, 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 youth, grope, stop. In June of 1961, one of Fred's sisters, 13-year-old Kitty, went to their mother and told her Fred had been raping her for over 6 months. And Fred would have been like 19 at the time. Fred was arrested. And he was like, of course I did that. Doesn't everybody do it? And the police were like, actually, no. Like, almost all people do not do that. Ever. But like, what I don't understand is why the police didn't dig into that more and be like, well, why do you think that's normal?
Exactly.
There's a reason you think this is normal.
100%. And again, it's one of those things where we're not excusing the behavior, but it gives you a better understanding of where it came from.
Exactly.
But yeah, you don't just, you're not just born and you're like, this is fine.
No, you learned that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. He was set for a trial in November of the same year. And even though she had claimed to be disgusted and appalled by his actions, his mother was going to testify on his behalf. Remember, he's her favorite, right?
Yeah.
But just before she was scheduled to testify, Kitty recanted her story and refused to testify. So the case collapsed, even though he admitted to doing this, right? Because every time you have a case like this, if you don't have the victim testify, then we can't do anything about it. Whether or not it's true, whether or not there's evidence, whether or not any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Why we do this to people, I do not know.
Yeah. Preach, girl, preach.
Pretty much all of their family disowned Fred, and his mom said that he was no longer welcome in their home. Fred went to live with his Aunt Violet, but by the summer of 1962, less than a year after the trial collapsed, Fred and his parents had reconciled, but most of the other family did not. As we mentioned, Fred had been arrested a few times here and there. Growing up poor, Fred developed a reputation as a petty thief and would steal small things here and there. He'd get caught, he'd go to jail, and then he'd get out again, right? So Fred and Rose ended up getting married in January of 1972. And like with his marriage to Rena, the only person in attendance was his brother, John, who served as his best man. John is like his like fucking ride or die man. Like a few months after being married to Rose, she was pregnant with their second child and they decided to move to a house at 25 Cromwell Street. The house has since been demolished and turned into an alleyway for people to navigate, but the address is well known to anyone who knows this case. They rented the house initially, but eventually bought it for £7,000, and it was a huge house. And to supplement family income, they converted the upper floors into bed sits, which was like single living spaces. You could rent a room there, but you all shared a bathroom. So they installed a sink and a stove on the first floor landing, and the tenants were not allowed to be on the ground floor or in the yards. Only the West family could go to those areas. After purchasing the Cromwell Street house, Rose gave birth to their second daughter, May June. Not long after the birth of May, Rose began to do sex work in one of the rooms they converted and advertised in a local magazine.
Oh,
okay. She engaged in casual sex with their tenants, male and female, as well as people Fred met while out in town. Fred would participate as well, and people said that they definitely took pleasure in making women go beyond their sexual limits. Rose would use increasingly larger and larger sex toys on women, and when it caused them pain or they asked her to stop, she would respond with, quote, "Aren't you woman enough to take it?" Like, sorry, Rose, you're not going to get me with that. No, I'm not woman enough to take it. Yeah, please exactly. Remove that. Kindly get the fuck out of my face. Like,
yes.
No. And we mentioned that Rose lived with her father after her parents divorced and he had sexually abused her and her sister. And after she had started to go through puberty, Rose became fascinated by the way her body was changing. She would just walk around their house naked or almost naked anytime she was around her younger brother, Graham, who was 4 years younger than her.
Oh my.
Good God. On numerous occasions, Rose would go into Graham's room at night and molest him. She was 13, he was only 9, and eventually she started to molest her other young brother, Gordon. These poor kids. And like, again, you know, Rose is older at this point, but she's still 13. Mm-hmm. She learned this somewhere.
Yeah.
I certainly don't feel sorry for her as an adult and the things that she did, but like, it comes from somewhere, right? Why do we think this is normal? It's just awful. Yeah. It was known in the West household on Cromwell Street that the room that Rose used for work was only hers. Well, I mean, it was Mandy's room because that was the name she used while she was working. It was locked with only one key, which she wore on a necklace around her neck. There were various peepholes in the walls because otherwise, how is Fred going to be able to sit and watch? Yucky. She also kept a baby monitor in the room so Fred could listen in. If he wanted to, because...
Well, thank God.
I mean, they just really had that, like, special relationship. It was like she knew what he was interested in and, like, you know, just, like, little things to show that she cares, you know?
Yeah, it's a bonding experience. Why not just invite him in? I mean, he's got all of the senses there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the client didn't want that. I'm sure they didn't want him listening and watching. Yeah, but,
exactly.
You know. Her clients were instructed to use a particular door and doorbell, which Fred had installed for this purpose. Rose was actually the one who handled all of the household finances. And when Fred got paid, he gave it all to Rose. He turned everything over to her.
That's shocking to me.
This is an interesting... Because, yeah, you see in his relationship with Rena, in his marriage with Rena, he's so the end-all be-all. Yeah, yes. So domineering. But then he meets Rose. And in the beginning, it was that way. But then at this point in time, they have changed that dynamic. And she runs it now. Mm-hmm. She's the one with the key around her neck.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one who, I have control over these things. You give your money to me.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't see it coming.
No. And it seems like at first when you hear that Rose is engaging in sex work to supplement Fred's income, that's what he wanted Rena to do too. You think she's being trafficked. He's doing this for a profit, right?
Yeah.
But it almost goes the other way around where he's going out and having a job to give her the money.
Yeah.
Like it's just wild. So she's one of those people that, like, when she first meets him, she's 15, and you're like, oh my gosh, he is
grooming her.
Yeah, grooming her, controlling her, and all those things. But then it's like he just taught her everything she needs to know. Yeah, exactly. By the time that 1977 rolled around, Rose's father, who actually went by Bill, was more tolerant of her and Fred's relationship. And it seemed like he had developed more of a respect for Fred. I don't know how or why, but
yeah,
they did. They ended up going into business together. They opened a cafe named the Green Lantern, but it was soon insolvent. They were broke, couldn't pay any of their bills, all of that stuff. Around this time, Bill also learned that Rose was doing sex work. And he started to visit her for her services.
No.
Oh my gosh. That's a...
I know. Because when you get to the first part of that sentence, it's like, he learned that she was a sex worker. Okay. He's like, you got to put an end to this or whatever. You know what I mean? That's where you think it's... No, you don't think that it's going to be... Mm-mm. He became one of her
clients.
Patron. Yes.
Yeah, because you would either think he'd be like, that's absurd, don't do that, which, you know, it just, because everything she did before, he critiqued and had a problem with and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Very, so I just expected it to be a problem for him.
Yeah, protective and controlling in his own way and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Maybe he'd be like, oh, okay, you know, get it, girl. Do what you got to do. No. He's like, well, if you're going to do it, then I'm going to be a client. What is insane to me is that both people involved in this transaction, well, all three of them. So Fred, yeah, being the husband, is like, sure, fuck your dad. That's fine with me.
Oh, no.
What? And Rose is like, oh, I have a new client on my list today. I opened it. Oh, my God, it's my dad. Come on in. Like, what? Nobody said.
There are other sex workers in the area that you could go to.
Yeah.
Please. Why does it have to be me?
Yeah. Nope. But again, that tells you just how fucked up their home life was. Jeez.
I'm upset.
Very upset. By 1983, Rose had given birth to 8 children. At least
Holy
three
hell.
Of them, yeah, were fathered by clients. But Fred claimed them as his own. When he was questioned about why their skin was so much darker than his or Rose's, he told them that his great-grandmother was black.
Again, this Fred has some interesting qualities or like behaviors that I was not expecting, because the based on his personality, I wouldn't think that, you know, I could see him like beating the shit out of his wife because that's who he is as a person for having children with another man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did it with Rena. She exactly. hugged. He saw her hug McLaughlin and he beat the shit out of her, right?
Yeah.
But with this, he's like, and here is my child, which you would think, I mean, in the perfect situation, it'd be like, how sweet is that? You know, like,
uh-huh.
He's taking them as his own, but not with him. But it's just, I don't know. It seems like when he got with Rose, he really let go of a lot of things that I didn't expect him to.
Right. Which kind of gives you that indication of just how powerful she became in that relationship and like the change of the power dynamic. And they both, I read too, that it's really interesting because they were, man, they were cut from the same cloth.
Uh-huh.
They really were. And you would think most people who go through the sexual abuse that each of them went through would never, never, never want their child to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And never want to, you know, but they kind of went the whole other way with it. But mm-hmm. his mom, like, Fred was her favorite, but she was sexually abusing him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when he was arrested and was going to go to trial for sexually abusing his own young sister and is like, wait, I thought that's what everybody did. The mm-hmm. police never stopped and said, okay, well, that's a weird question.
Yeah. How come you think that that's normal? Because nobody else does. So.
Mm-hmm. So we need to look at that. Like, he's also being sexually abused. And it's that thing, you know, we've talked about, like the movie The Cell. You mm-hmm. can feel really sad for the child, but then you grow up and you're a parent and it's just, I don't know. They were just, I mean, it was just like FUBAR by then, I guess. Like, sheesh.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. In the West house, when each child turned 7 years old, they were given chores. What kind of chores do you think? Like do your own dishes, wash your own clothes.
Right. No. Make your bed.
They were given like jobs. They were not permitted to socialize outside of the house unless one of their parents was with them. Wonder why.
Yeah, exactly.
There were very strict rules and guidelines in place for the house. If a rule was broken, the punishment was often physical and severe. And the children were living in constant fear of being punished, mostly by Rose. They were terrified of her. And they said sometimes they would get in trouble just for Rose's own gratification. But she made sure to never leave a mark on their faces or hands where people might see them. Between 1972 and 1992, you guys, the children were admitted to emergency rooms of various hospitals 31 times.
Dear Lord.
And these nobody, children have been failed.
100%. I know that times they are a-changing, but it's like nobody said That's a lot. I know they went to different hospitals, but did they go to 31 different hospitals?
Exactly. Exactly. So if you are going to bring your child, so let's say there's 3 hospitals in the area.
Right.
You get kids in the same family coming into your hospital emergency room for various like injuries and stuff like that 10 times.
Yeah.
Like, this is getting weird. Like after 3 or 4, okay. You know, like I know kids sometimes, you know, they'll jump off crap. They do something on their bike, you know, like whatever. But this is excessive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awful. At one point, Heather and a younger brother ran away and slept outdoors or with friends. After weeks away, they were returned home and severely beaten. One time, Stephen, one of their sons, was cleaning the floor with a washcloth and a bowl of water. Rose stepped in the bowl. She was walking through and stepped in the bowl, which, like, look where you're fucking going.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know he's cleaning. You can see that. So, like, whatever. But she flew into a rage, of course. She shouted that he put the bowl there on purpose so she would step in it.
No, I think that she stepped in it on purpose so she could be like, what the?
Absolutely. So she takes the bowl, hits him in the head with it repeatedly. She's kicking him in the head and chest. Like,
oh my God, because you got your fucking sock wet. Like, exactly. Come on.
You stepped in a little water. Like, boo fucking hell.
Yeah.
Rose. On a different occasion, a utensil was missing from the kitchen. Rose had been using a knife to cut up some meat, so she grabbed the knife and then used it to make small cuts on May's chest until she was covered in small wounds.
May? I don't know. There are just no words. I don't understand it.
No. And it wasn't just the children that would get viciously attacked by Rose. One time, they were arguing, and Rose chased Fred through the house with a carving knife. He ran into a room and slammed the door just as she lunged at him. The knife stuck in the door, but her hand slipped, and her fingers ran down the blade. And she almost severed the fingers, and she just, like, calmly wraps them up while saying, quote, look what you done, fella. You gotta take me to the hospital now.
You know how I think about it a lot, and this is a terrible reference, but it's the only one that I can think of that really gets my point across. I know that Bill Cosby obviously is a horrid person, and we do not condone or support him. Mm-hmm. But the Cosby Show, the mom,
mm-hmm.
she was so good
at
no, like, emotion. Like, she was so calm, mm-hmm. but when she would get onto the kids, like, it scared the shit out of me. Because that's mm-hmm. the scariest thing ever, right?
Yes.
This is what it reminds me of. It's like terrifying that she, when somebody doesn't react and it's like, oh my God, what are they capable of? Like, this mm-hmm. is weird.
Yeah, like, oh, look what you've done now.
Yep. Like, Fred, you better run. And also, I don't feel sorry for Fred, not in the least. I actually think, wow, you got a taste of your own medicine and it's bitter, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But those poor kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, just again, like, how many times are people coming in with stab wounds and broken
cuts and
like in the same household? Like, they're not like, you know, circus knife performers. Like,
circus knife performers.
You know, like, how else are you going to explain getting cut and stabbed this many times? Like,
right, yeah.
Come on. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I know. And again, I guarantee there wasn't 31 hospitals, 31 hospitals in the area. So. Yeah.
But Rose was just that, like, mousy looking, like.
Unsuspecting.
Yes. And people, you know, and I know a lot of people think women can't be violent, but yeah, they can.
Oh, yes, they can.
But that's the end of part one, dude. So we're going to get into their victims that we know of. In the investigation and trial in the next episode.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We love you and we'll catch you next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Connect with us on Instagram or Facebook to continue the conversation.
Thanks for listening and we will meet you back here next week.
Bye.
The theme song for the show is created and composed by Stephen Toby. You can find more of Stephen's work on SoundCloud.
Our logo was created by Sloan Williams of Sophisticated Crayon. You can find more of her work on Etsy. Visit us at killerqueenspodcast.com for merch and other info about the show.